Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I don't remember much about the night that my sister was born. I'm only 4.5 years older than her, so I was quite young. I do know that it was a blizzard, and I do know that I was at my home. My mom delivered at home, both of us, in fact. And I do remember, most of what I remember is that my job was to keep the receiving blankets warm by keeping them zipped up inside my pajamas so that they were nice and warm for the newborn baby. And I do remember later, after she was born and wrapped in those nice warm blankets, that she looked up at me and smiled, or seemed to smile. I learned later that babies don't really smile right away, but this one did, which is remarkable, in fact, because now, if my sister's been through a long and tiring ordeal, smiling is the last thing that she does. But she smiled at me that time. A little over a year ago, I attended another birth. I rushed out nearly in the middle of the night to Fletcher Allen for my sister's second child, Finn, coming into the world. And I attended this birth together with my mother and my brother-in-law. And it was the first birth I've been present for, at least the first one that was not a C-section and where somebody, myself included, gets wheeled off to an operating room, since I was 4.5 years old. And that same human being I had seen come into the world as this tiny little thing brought a whole nother live person into the world. I only had to sit down about 3 times for fear that I would pass out and the medical providers would pay attention to me instead of the person that was actually doing this amazing medical thing, because I got a little woozy. And when I got back to the hotel for just a couple hours of sleep where Sean and the kids were waiting, I kind of collapsed for those, you know, few hours of sleep with only one word. I mean, there's only one word you can say in the face of all of that. Wow. Just wow. That's the gift of being thunderstruck. Now, that's, I think, one of the hugest miracles that this planet creates, the miracle of life, the miracle of that circle of life. But I said wow earlier this week. I was parked outside the little co-op in White River, and there was this tree, and its leaves were brilliantly white. They looked like they were made out of white paper, like rice paper or tissue paper. I had to get out of the car and go over and take one off the tree, and they were the dried leaves from last season, but they weren't red or orange or brown or anything. They were white. I had never seen anything like it before. I was just stunned. I couldn't figure it out. And it made me stop. It made me pause, get back out of my car and say, wow, huh. Sometimes I've encountered the overwhelming kindness and generosity and love that people show one another, people in this congregation who give of themselves to others who were in tremendous need, way beyond what I think is possible to give of time or give of funds, give of caring and love. And sometimes I just take a step back and say, wow. It surprises and amazes me every time, not because God isn't good, but just because I'm not used to looking, or I'm not used to seeing and responding and noticing in that way. The book that shapes this series, Gifts of the Dark Wood by Eric Elness, talks about the gift of being thunderstruck and reminds us that nearly every ancient society talks about thunder and lightning and the power of storms as being the voice of God, as being that which strikes us, which makes us be thunderstruck. Whether it's Marduk or Zeus or Thor or Baal or Tahundi or, yes, Yahweh of the Israelites, God's voice thunders over the earth. That's what Job's friend says. Rumbles and thunders and the lightnings flash as God speaks to us. We hear it also in Exodus, not in thunder, but in fire. But in fire. The bush catches fire and does not burn up. And that catches Moses' attention because it's something different. It catches his attention and he knows. Then he hears the confirmation that the place where he is standing is holy ground. And he hears the voice of God, perhaps not in thunder, but thundering, and he is never the same. People often wistfully say to me, "Why doesn't God speak to us like that anymore? Why don't we hear God's voice really clearly from the heavens so that we can know what our path forward is? Why doesn't God just appear in a burning bush anymore so that we could know for certain that this place was holy ground?" Our author here suggests that perhaps we have our metaphor backwards. Perhaps we have not noticed and learned what it means to hear God's voice in thunder and lightning. He says, "Why are thunder and lightning so commonly depicted as conveying the voice of the divine? The conventional assumption has long been that, quote, primitive cultures invented such myths to explain the origin of storms. But this assumption is more the product of modern scientific imagination than mythological imagination. The purpose of those stories, the purpose was not to explain where lightning and thunder come from, but to explain where the voice of God comes from. And more importantly, how it comes to us, through intuition. Have you ever experienced a sudden flash of insight or awareness that rocked your whole world? Perhaps you experienced a sudden flash when you encountered your first love or life partner, or when a child was born. Or perhaps you went out for a casual walk in the woods one day, only to return a different person. Why do we describe these moments as sudden flashes or seeing the light when there's nothing to see? Why do we claim that they rock our world when the actual world remains stable? Like the ancients, we too are forced to convey interior phenomena using concrete external metaphors. What the ancients were trying to describe, which we moderns are too sophisticated to realize, is how the divine speaks to us. When the ancients spoke of the deity flashing and lightning and chasing it with claps of thunder, they meant that the voice of the divine often comes through momentary flashes of intuition or awarenesses that trigger sensations that reverberate within us like rolling thunder. While you may be able to identify times when you've experienced flashes of insight, you may find the thunder easier to locate. In an actual storm, you may miss the lightning entirely. It is brief, soundless, and often comes from a distant place. But even quiet thunder is hard to miss. Even if you overlook or forget, the inner realization that triggers your inner thunder, the ongoing reverberations caused by the lightning, sometimes last for years. Maybe God does speak to us in burning bushes, bushes that are aflame with the red of autumn and the light catching the leaves that somehow do not burn up, but we are the ones who have changed how we listen, and we forget to say, "Wow." Maybe God's voice does thunder over our lives in those reverberations that last, that rumble, that are so low we can barely hear them, but that somehow we feel that resonance inside us, but we no longer look or listen or describe God's voice as that trembling, rumbling sound, reverberation in our lives. Maybe we have our eyes focused in a different direction, and so we don't even notice the lightning. We can just sort of see that the clouds get a little brighter for a millisecond. But it is the change over time that rumbles within our lives, and we miss it. We think we've come so far, and maybe we have. It just might not have been in the direction we'd hoped. Maybe this is what Jesus means when he says that we need to become like little children. Not because their lives are simpler or easier or they're happier, but because they are more open to wonder and awe. This is the gift of the dark wood, the gift of being thunderstruck. When all is dark, the light that comes through the trees seems that much brighter. Those flashes of intuition seem that much more poignant and real. Those rumblings may be easier to hear when we silence the voices of the world around us and take that inner journey. When we let go of our ego and our thought that we're so sophisticated that we understand exactly where thunder and lightning come from scientifically and meteorologically, thank you very much. Can't believe I got that word out. We understand that perfectly well, thank you. And we forget that part of what is conveyed to us is simply the wonder of the world around us, the wonder of what God does in and through us. Maybe a white leaf is just a white leaf. Maybe there's some scientific explanation for it. Maybe it wasn't white the whole time, it got bleached out. I don't know. What I know is that in that moment, it was something new to me. It was something I hadn't seen before. More importantly, in that moment, it was something that got my attention, just as the burning bush caught Moses' attention. It's not even so much that God can be present in a bush that's on fire as it is that God can be present in our lives. That's what should cause us to go, wow. That God hears and cares about the cries of the people, that's the true revelation. The flames from the bush are just what gets Moses' attention. The voice speaking is just what helps him understand. If we can clear our minds in the dark wood, if we can lose sight of the path long enough and be enough in the darkness that the light shining through the trees makes sense to us again, then we can be amazed. We may be amazed by what God says and does. It can be hard to listen and look for God's pathway for us. But in the darkness, the light filtered through the trees illuminates in a new way. And when we let go of our assumptions, the awareness that's filtered through our perceptions might speak to us anew. Stripped of our ego and open to awe, can we find and allow that wonder, God's power to astound us and steal our breath? When was the last time that God made you say, wow, just wow?